Greetings, greetings, once again, to all my enemies and all my friends. Well, you may have heard the news, but stand by now for the worldview. That's right, it's the Weekly Worldview. And I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back to the show where we don't take calls. We don't tolerate sponsors, but we do help focus you on the events of the week or the last couple of weeks. I'm sorry I wasn't with you last week. I was in New York City participating in the madness. That's right. We all went up to New York City for a trade show. And on the eve of the trade show, after we'd done all the work of setting everything up, they canceled it. And so there we sat, a bunch of hayseeds in the city. And we managed to survive, and nobody has gotten sick and died, at least not as of yet. And none of us were robbed, which is there was about 30 of us there. So the way things are going in New York City right now, we actually got over statistically because one of us, at least one of us, should have been robbed. According to Fox News in New York, the New York Police Department says major crimes are up over 20% in February compared to last year. That's right. And listen to this. Only 20 people were killed in New York City in February. Only 20. Interesting way to look at it. They say and that's down 20%, I guess, from last year. But petty crimes and property crimes are up dramatically. Police officials blame criminal justice reform for the uptick in crime. That was, you remember criminal justice reform. That was basically the removal of bail and pretty much the legalization of certain crimes. Mm-hmm. Or the criminal justice reform. And listen to this, in response to this rise in crime there in Gotham, the New York Police Department says it's redeploying resources in real time, including moving more vehicles and foot patrols in areas that have been identified as seeing an increase in crime. So they're keeping the police busy there. And this criminal justice reform, if you look at it from the perspective of the criminal justice industry, or just the industry of crime, as it has been dubbed here on the Weekly Worldview, criminal justice reform looks like it grows the business, keeps everybody up and running and moving, and probably a lot of overtime involved for the police. And then, of course, there's the lawyers, the cases they churn through. The lawyers make their money, the judges. Everybody's got something to do. And they're growing the business. We're looking at a steady increase. One of the few expanding industries in this economy over the next 6 months could be criminal. Could be crime, is what I meant to say. It is criminal. That could be criminal. It's absolutely criminal, but crime could be the one thing that continues to grow, even as everything else appears to be collapsing all around us. Yes. All right. But we're not panicked. I hope you're not panicked. I'm not panicked. In fact, I'm just going to keep going here because there's a lot more things. There's a lot of things of more interest to me than the coronavirus or COVID-19. Now it's COVID-19. What's the deal with changing the name of the crisis in the middle of the crisis? It was coronavirus, 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 and now it's COVID-19 all of a sudden. Why would they change the name? I know the difference. I know coronavirus is the actual virus itself, and COVID-19 is what they are calling the, I guess that's the sickness you get. Instead of calling it the flu, they're calling it COVID-19 because it's something identified in 2019. Anyway, it's a flu strain from 2019. And so, anyway, I just don't appreciate them changing the name of the event in the middle of the event, okay? But let's go back to some justice. Does anyone in the audience remember Lee Boyd Malvo? Lee Boyd Malvo, if you'll remember, 17 years ago, he and John Allen Muhammad were arrested for randomly shooting 10 people all around Washington, D.C. You remember the D.C. sniper and the terror that he caused? Lee Boyd Malvo. Now, John Allen Muhammad was executed in 2009. But Lee Boyd Malvo received 8 life sentences because he was only 17. And so he could not be put to death by a criminal justice system who doesn't know what to do with a 17-year-old who murders 10 people or shoots 10 people. I forget how many people they killed. They killed a number of people. Oh, no, yeah, they killed 10 people. Yeah, mm-hmm. So anyway, Lee Boyd Malvo just got married inside Virginia's Red Onion State Prison. The beautiful couple's wedding anniversary will be March 6th. Yes, yes. He married the granddaughter of a wealthy Iowa real estate developer who is a big-time activist and contributor to left-wing causes. Uh-huh, yeah, yeah, yeah. She herself has had a brush with the law. She was arrested back in 2016 for blocking a roadway during a Black Lives Matter protest in Portland, Oregon. That was Black Lives Matter, just in case you're new to the show. Black Lives Matter! Anyway, she was arrested at one of those. And it's not really surprising to me that Lee Boyd Malvo would marry someone with a background in the Black Lives Matter movement, because he's a poster boy for them. Anyway, Lee Boyd Malvo should have been put to death in or around the same time as Mr. Mohammed was, but he was not. And so now he's fallen in love with Sable Noel Knapp, 30-year-old heiress and red diaper baby. It's just disgusting. Just disgusting. What can you do? I tell you. And then we get to something even more bizarre. That's bizarre. Just thinking of the DC sniper getting married. Mm-hmm. I mean, all right. But let's go to Bradley Manning, if you want, from the Queering of America file. The ex-Army intelligence analyst who calls himself Chelsea, who leaked 700,000 classified documents to WikiLeaks, apparently tried to hang himself with a sheet inside the Alexandria Detention Center. Yeah. Uh-huh. The tranny was rushed to the hospital after the March 11th suicide bid. Bradley Manning, 31 years old. Let's see. He had gotten 7 years in jail, but then Barack Obama commuted his sentence. They keep calling him her throughout this article, but I refuse. So anyway, apparently Bradley Manning was found not exactly hanging in his cell, but with a sheet around his neck. And he was blue in the face, and it's really strange. So maybe the sheet didn't get the job done. It fell. I don't know. So anyway, blue and unresponsive is what the guards who found it on the floor. So anyway, Bradley Manning has attempted suicide, as I've long predicted. And now a federal judge wants to let him out of prison. He's in prison, by the way, because he refuses to testify in a case against Julian Assange in WikiLeaks. He's been in jail for about a year. And this is another fellow who, in my opinion, should have been executed, but is not, but was not, and is now just basically... slowly careening toward a tragic end in slow motion. That's Bradley. Please call me Chelsea Manning. Get out of here with that. Unbelievable. Now, you remember the last time we were together, we discussed my disgust with the fact that America was negotiating with the Taliban. And at that time, we had signed some sort of agreement with the Taliban, some sort of peace deal. Well, it didn't take long for the Taliban to break that. The Taliban called an abrupt end to a partial truce with America just 2 days after signing the deal. That's right. This is according to the French Press Association. The Taliban ordered its fighters to recommence attacks against Afghan army and police forces. That's right. The truce had lasted for about a week, running up to the signing of the U.S.-Taliban Accord. But it all fell apart within about 48 hours, and now things are pretty much back to where they were. The Taliban controlling large swaths of Afghanistan, and America just trying to find our way out of there, which is a pretty embarrassing and sad place to be, but that's where we are. Is there anything else from here? There's really nothing else. That's just it. I mean, I would have suggested that we don't bother to negotiate with the Taliban, that we just try to kill as many of them as possible in as short a period of time as possible, and then get out of there. But anyway, here we are. Meanwhile, Erdogan in Turkey is releasing the hounds. Yes, he's allowing the Syrian refugees to cross Turkey's land border into Greece, and Greece is trying to stop them. But anyway, things could come to a head there. In fact, there's been violence, there's been gunfire, there's been fire, it's getting ugly at the Greek-Turk border. And while we all participate in the hysteria over coronavirus or COVID-19, the actual world, there's actual things happening in the actual world that are of some significant import. That's right. Turkey hosts more than 3.5 million Syrian refugees, and they had been containing them on the Turkish side of the border, but Erdogan says the Europeans aren't paying. They're not helping him with any money or any aid. So he's sending them to Europe now. And I have, one official who preferred not to be identified said, it's done. The gates are open. Mm-hmm. This is a Turkish official. You will have your share of this burden now. Mm-hmm. Yep. He says, soon the number of people going to the border will be expressed in millions. Wow. And I don't know how many have already gone over to Europe, but it was already quite the crisis situation. And now that's going to get worse. And then we got the coronavirus. And so it's been an interesting week. Who was the famous person who wished ill upon someone by saying, I hope you live in interesting times? Well, here we are. We are in the midst of interesting times, indeed. And so should I address the coronavirus? So I was in New York where the governor declared a state of emergency. And once a governor declares a state of emergency, everybody gets scared. Yeah. And rightly so. So I have friends all along the spectrum of hysteria. I have from, hey, it's just a cold, don't worry about it, to, we don't want to be like the Jews in 1939 and not see the writing on the wall. I have a relatively expansive circle of friends, and they go from it's just a cold to comparisons to the Jews before World War II. So I have a feeling that it would be wise to settle somewhere in between those two. Take common sense precautions, you know. Wash your hands, I guess. I'm still going out. We're still going to the store and things like that.
Yeah,
I don't know. So I'm standing in the grocery store, and the toilet paper aisle is completely empty, and I thought, I should post this up on social media. And then I thought, why should I do that? Everyone else is seeing the exact same thing in real life. Mm-hmm. You don't need to post it to social media. So I'm driving from somewhere to some point A to point B, and I'm listening to the guy on the radio. Now, he's in the city, and in the city, he talks about there's no toilet paper, there's no water, there's no beans, there's no tuna fish. Well, I'm out in the country, so I thought maybe the hysteria wouldn't be quite as bad out here. And so I went to the grocery store just to survey the level of mass panic. And the store was very crowded, and there was, well, the only toilet paper you could get was the really, really cheap ghetto kind. That's actually just a half a roll. Toilet paper? The only toilet paper you could get was either the ghetto kind, right? Which is like a half a roll, and it's rolled real loose to look like it's almost a roll, but it's not. Or you could get the really expensive gourmet organic bamboo toilet paper. So anyway, I went with the ghetto variety. I did my part to participate in the mass hysteria by buying two token rolls of ghetto toilet paper that we plan to have them bronze so we can look back someday and say, do you remember the panic of 2020? Got like 9,000 backup singers in that band. How many backup singers do they have? They got like a whole choir's worth.
I like them.
Anywhere. We're not panicking here at the McBurney compound. I think the coronavirus, I'm sorry, I have to change my notes. The COVID-19 hysteria is a combination of a few things. You got your general overall fear of a legitimate concern. A new flu virus can be scary. 1918, perhaps 1% of the global population was killed in a season or two. So you've got a genuine concern that I think is legitimate. But then you've got politicians and lawyers smelling money. That's, you know, these emergency declarations that have been made in recent days by the various jurisdictions, including New York City, where I was petrified I was not going to be able to get off that island. Thankfully, the company I was staying with, the guy's so cheap, we were staying in an Airbnb in New Jersey. So, fortunately, his cheapness finally paid off for me. Had there been a lockdown, we could have escaped via New Jersey. But every time I went into Manhattan, I was scared they were going to lock us in there. What was I getting to, though? Oh yeah, these emergency declarations. So that's what happens. We work like rented mules to set up a booth for this trade show, and then the governor declares an emergency, and then the next morning we have to go tear it all down because they canceled the thing. And we realize that all these venues, now that there's a state of emergency that's been declared, which by the way was declared mostly So the governor of New York could get his hands on money from the federal treasury. That was the main reason. It wasn't because of a legitimate fear that thousands of New Yorkers were going to perish in the coronavirus pandemic. That was not number one on, what's the governor in New York's name? Cuomo? Not Fredo, though, the guy on, there's a different guy. Buddy. Or Jeff. Anyway. Cuomo, he wanted to get his hands on some federal money. That's the number one thing that drove his decision.
Cuomo?
To declare, I think his name is Cuomo.
Was it?
Is it Fredo's brother is the governor of New York, or am I crazy?
Is he?
I don't know. Maybe. Anyway. Cuomo, there once was a Cuomo who was a governor of New York for sure, so let's just go with it. Fredo's big brother wants some federal money, so he declares an emergency, and now all these venues are terrified that if anyone were to catch coronavirus at one of the events, in one of the, whether the person got sick and died or whatever, the person could sue them. And so you've got New York declares an emergency, and the federal funds start flowing, and it turns into a toilet paper situation. Everyone's like, man, I better get me some of that, or I might not be able to get any. So pretty soon, you've got every governor and mayor left and right. They're declaring emergencies, mostly so they can get the money. And so pretty soon there's no toilet paper left on the shelf. Yeah. Anyway, so all these declarations have fueled something like a domino effect that is probably going to turn into the greatest run on any treasury in the history of all humanity. There's probably never been a bigger run on the federal treasury than what's about to happen. You know, and well, I mentioned administrators of these venues are so terrified of legal exposure. You know, they're just going to shut everything down. Yeah, they're going to cancel all the events that are the fabric of the American economy. And this is going to crash the economy for a while. Let's continue this domino effect. Unless someone can speak reason and confidence to the masses. Right? If someone could speak reasonably with confidence to the public and the media, you know, and both parties of our alleged political leadership, if someone could stand up and try to help these people. I can't think of anyone holding elective office. I'm just going through my Rolodex in my mind, my memory banks. I can't think of anyone holding public office at this moment capable of effectively stopping this panic. I can't think of anyone. So who's going to stop it? Now I'm getting myself worked up. Now I'm panicked about the panic. Actually, I know who'll stop it. I know who's going to stop this panic. It's Jesus Christ. He will stop it. Yeah? Because his much-maligned followers will be the even deeper fabric of America's spiritual economy, yeah, who will not freak out, who will do the right thing even in uncertain times. That's right. Even in uncertain times, if you have faith in your Creator, you don't have total fear, because even if I do get sick and die, I win. So I don't have to freak out. So the Christians will help pull you people through this. You are welcome. All right. We'll move on from that, okay? All right, and then I have to get to some sort of science story, because I have to talk about a turn of a phrase that bothers me, but I'm not sure how I'm gonna fit it in. I'm not sure where this fits. Oh, well, let's talk about the oil war. Saudi Arabia has decided that they are going to take as much market share from Russia as they can. According to Zero Hedge, Russia and Riyadh were unable to reach an agreement on further oil production cuts. And Saudi Arabia started slashing official pricing for its crude in an effort to push as many barrels into the market as possible. Mm-hmm. So it cut its April pricing for crude to the U.S. by $7 a barrel. That seems really significant. In attempt to steal market share, from Russians and Texans. I don't know why we buy oil from Saudi Arabia. I don't really understand. There must be some contracts that we're locked into that we can't get out of, because why would California buy oil from Saudi Arabia if we can get it from Texas? I just don't understand. Northwest Europe, they cut that by $8 a barrel. Uh-huh, and the Saudi move was a direct attack on the ability of Russian companies to sell crude oil, particularly in Europe. And Zero Head says this is the second indication that the OPEC oil cartel is now effectively dead. Oh, I'm sorry, that was the first indication. The second came a few hours later when Bloomberg News reported that in addition to huge price cuts, Saudi Arabia was set to flood the market with a glut of oil. Okay, so anyway, the price of gasoline is probably going to crater over the next 3 weeks. It could go down 50%. It's totally possible. And I know cheap gas is fun, but it's also an indication that the underlying structure of the economy is in poor health. But there we are. So we've gotten on top of the COVID-19. There, see, I'm getting with it. On top of the COVID-19 panic, I'm just supposed to call it a pandemic. It's a pandemic. It's all over the world. Yeah, okay. In addition to that, we now have got the oil war, the oil crisis. And then there's a huge looming debt crisis that's just going to get bigger because of all this. I mean, I think I heard earlier that the Fed cut the rate, the federal funds rate to zero, which I don't think that's ever happened before. Which brings to mind Bernie Madoff. Bernie Madoff is in prison, and he's got some sort of kidney problems. Let's see here. He's sick, okay? Let's see. His judge has asked the court for a compassionate release. They say he has terminal kidney failure and has less than 18 months to live. That's what his lawyer says. I don't want to talk to his lawyer. I want to talk to his doctor. Of course, what do you think his lawyer is going to say? Anyway, does everyone remember Bernie Madoff? Bernie Madoff was born in 1938 and became one of the most famous American financiers. He ran a multi-billion dollar scheme that is widely considered one of the largest financial frauds of all time. That's right. In 2009, you'll remember Madoff pleaded guilty to 11 felonies. He admitted to swindling thousands of clients, both high profile and those of lesser means, over decades. Monetarily, he is accused of taking $17 billion from clients. Wow. And sad, now he's sick. Gee, now I'm supposed to feel bad for him after he ruined the retirement of... I remember one police officer in particular that they interviewed who Madoff ripped off, because everyone laughed about it, because Madoff ripped off so many rich people. But he ripped off a lot of not-so-rich people and totally stole their retirement from them. The U.S. Attorney's Office believes that Madoff should die in prison, and they don't want the judge to let him out. Madoff, he received 150 years. Is there anything else here? Oh, he was on the board of the Federal Reserve Bank and NASDAQ. So one of the biggest swindlers in the history of swindling also happened to be involved... Well, in at least one other Ponzi scheme over at the Federal Reserve Bank. How many bonds is the Federal Reserve buying? No, is it the Treasury's buying bonds? The Fed is pumping money into the... I don't understand it all. It all seems rather precarious and, I don't know, seems somewhat dishonest. I guess, and it's crises that expose the weaknesses that dishonesty and graft... put into the system, the rot from the infrastructure that the graft and the skim all takes off, and all the corruption that's percolating under the surface like yeast in the bread. It's a crisis that can expose all of that, and perhaps that's what we've got now. Perhaps we've got a crisis that's going to expose all the weakness that's been built into the system over the years by all the Bernie Madoff types who never got arrested because they never got caught. And many of them are in politics, frankly. Who knows? Maybe something good will come of this, you know? Well, one good thing has already come of this. My extremely attractive audio engineer and I got down to the grocery store and we realized there was no sliced white bread, which in the McBurney compound, no sliced white bread is something to panic over. That is something that we legitimately had a bit of a fear. But I said to myself, I said, let's call a local independent bakery, right? Mm-hmm. So we call up this little bakery, a Mexican bakery and restaurant, all combined in one building. And I said, do you have bread? She said, yes. I said, do you have like white bread, like, you know, just regular white bread? She said, yes, we do. I said, I'll be right over, and you should consider staying open 24 hours. There's no bread at the grocery store. You could make a fortune. We'll be right back. We're back. If I ever have to go to the collapse of civilization, I hope Eric Johnson's playing. That'll be pretty cool.
He's coming. No, maybe not.
I hope he opens for the collapse. At least make it. All right. Now, meanwhile, we go to the Scared New World file. That's right, where the Independents over in the United Kingdom, a disgraceful broadsheet filled with pornography, it reports that a growing number of children are being affected by eco-anxiety. That's right, concern about ecological disasters. Yeah, that's according to research run by the BBC, a survey of 2,000 8 to 16-year-old children. they say that, so you want to get into some numbers here, about 70% are worried about the state of the planet. The planet! They're worried about the state of the planet. Forget about the state of themselves or their immediate circle of friends. They're worried about the planet. It's very easy to be worried about the planet. You know, it's kind of an amorphous thing to be worried about the planet. And so I kind of chuckle, but I think as I read through this story, this is real. These kids are actually scared. About 20% of 8 to 16-year-olds say they're very worried. Yeah. Over half say that they're concerned about the impact that climate change will have on their lives. One in five admitted to having a bad dream about the climate crisis. A bad dream. Wow. Oh, man. Yeah, it's real. They don't think their voices are being heard. Okay, yeah. Two-thirds don't believe people in power are listening to them. Almost half say they don't trust adults to tackle the challenges. Yeah. You know, this is real. This is real. And what I think I see here is a generation of children being groomed for some sort of revolution. It's dangerous. It's dangerous. But, you know, there's one thing about the COVID-19 event that we're currently living through is that it certainly puts the climate crisis in perspective. When you're actually worried that grandma could catch the cold and die, you stop worrying so much about the planet and you start actually caring about the people around you. So one thing this will do is it will drive us closer to one another, as scary things often do. Oh, and one encouraging thing from all this data that I've churned through here on the study from the BBC, a survey of 2,000 8 to 16-year-olds, the good news here, folks, is it appears that about a third of these children have not been fooled. Yeah, about a third. Well, you know, I would have to say it's probably more than a third because I'll bet a lot of these kids surveyed, I bet they just answer the way they think they're supposed to answer. Like a concerned citizen of the planet, you might have to be concerned, you know. I'll bet half the kids think this is total bunk. So I'm not too worried. And for those of you who are scared, I feel for you. I'm sorry that this has been done to you. They've perpetrated a fraud on you for their own political purposes because they want to use you to advance their power and authority and money. Oh, I have to address my Bernie Sanders prediction, don't I? Actually, I could wait because he's still in. And Joe Biden could collapse at any moment. I mean, politically. I don't wish anything bad physically on Joe. There's one thing that I hadn't figured properly into my calculation when I made the Bernie Sanders prediction. I forgot that most Democrats care more about money than they do about socialism. I forgot that. Yeah, that's right. I thought the true Bernie believers, and I know there are a lot of them out there. And in fact, I guess the Bernie bros, the Bernie believers, they actually do believe in socialism and they're actually dedicated to some sort of principle, even though it's an incorrect and destructive and evil principle. But the thing I didn't give enough weight to was that most of the Democrat Party is dominated by people who are greedy for money and don't really believe in any principles except their own appetites. That's the way most Democrats are, especially the party elites, the folks who run the party, the Clintons and the Obamas and everyone in their circle. They're all greedy, and they're willing to throw socialism under the bus if it helps them stay in power. And that's pretty much what they've been doing for the last couple of weeks to Bernie Sanders. But Bernie's not out yet, so I am not going to rescind my prediction that Bernie will be the nominee, mostly because I have some principles. I do not abandon my predictions when things start to look sketchy. I stick with it. Go down with this ship. All right. Now this, I can't do that story after that, and then I can't do that. Sometimes you make a joke and then you're, oh, here we go. Here's a story I can do. It's a Kanye West story. Kanye West took over the Buffet du Nord. I don't even know how to pronounce it. It's French. The Buffet du Nord Theater in France, in the French capital of Paris. He did one of his famous Sunday service gospel hymn sessions over there at Fashion Week in Paris. And West's slutty, disgusting wife and his creepy, pornographic sister-in-law were there. They were at the Sunday service dressed like strippers. It's shocking to see what they wore to what supposedly, I mean, I think Kanye is he still saying that he's some sort of Christian? I think he is. And I'm sorry, you can't preach from the pulpit and have your wife dressed like that, Kanye. I mean, this is, you know, this brings to mind something my pastor said in a sermon about young Christians, if they're famous. Mm-hmm. If somebody's famous and they become a Christian, everyone suddenly thinks that they're someone to be followed and they're someone to be looked up to. Uh-huh. You know, they just barely figured out the most fundamental thing in life. Mm-hmm. You don't want to be looking up to Kanye West. Mm-hmm. He's still letting his wife spray paint her clothes on and go out in public. He's got a little bit to learn before we start looking up to him. Well, anyway, and that's just the least of it. That's just the least of it. Well, no, that is the worst of it, actually, was the way those two sluts looked. That's just unbelievable. But what happened, folks, is that the theater where Kanye West booked his, I don't want to call it a Sunday service. I'm just going to call it a concert. A concert with striptease. That Buffet du Nord Theater, it had been booked by one Fia Maynard. Fia Maynard is a transgender juggler who was doing his act, and his show got canceled one with only one day's notice to make way for Kanye and his entourage. Well, the tranny is, as you can imagine, the tranny is upset. The tranny says, should I quote the tranny? Listen to this. They canceled my show so they could cash in on a religious ceremony and the money the Donald Trump supporting rapper could pay them. Okay. That's what the juggling tranny wrote on Facebook. Okay. Maynard said that he felt that he'd been treated with contempt. They keep calling him she throughout here, but I'm not going to participate. So, no comment from Kanye, by the way, on dislodging the tranny unceremoniously. But I don't know what's worse, a juggling tranny clown or a rapper presenting Christianity in sort of a pop porn light. You know, it's the pop porn version of Christianity. That's worse. I think that's worse than the juggling tranny clown, because at least the juggling the juggling tranny is just a clown.
Wearing clothes, right?
Yeah, at least the tranny's covered up, for crying out loud. Man. Kanye's slut wife leaves very little to the imagination. Wow. Anyway, if your daughter ever goes in public looking like whatever her name is, the Kardashian slut, you know you failed as a parent, at least on one level. It's just... I gotta go back to the eco-anxiety. Darn it, I got ahead of myself. These kids are scared, and if you doubt climate crisis, if you doubt the climate crisis, you're called unscientific. In fact, I was listening to an interview with a climate hysteric, and he kept saying the science proves this and the science proves that, and I thought to myself, wait a second, the science doesn't prove anything. Isn't it the evidence that proves or disproves something? It's not the science itself. It's not the act of doing the experiments. It's the evidence. It's the evidence that proves. And evidence, by the way, is only convincing because of the knowledge of good and evil. Because the knowledge of good and evil exists in all men, we have the ability to process and analyze evidence and give it its proper weight. And so the fact that the knowledge of good and evil exists is revealed to us by our Creator in the Bible. And if it weren't for that, there would be no logic, there would be no reason, there would be no need for evidence, and there wouldn't be any science. And the fact that the living God exists disproves the theory that we humans are going to destroy the planet. It just can't happen because he tells us how it's going to end and he's going to be in charge of it, not us. Now, I'm not saying we should pollute the water. And I'm not saying that we couldn't damage our local ecosystem enough to do ourselves harm and even get people killed. That's all possible. But these kids are scared about us destroying the planet. About, like, everybody dying. It's the end of the world. Well, don't worry, kids. God said he's going to be in charge of the end of the world. Not straws. Not plastic bags. Not socialists.
You should worry either way.
What's that now?
They should be worried about that.
That's what they should be worried about. You should be worried about the destination of your eternal soul. The planet is big enough to take care of itself. You should be worried about that. All right, now finally, folks, not finally. This isn't the last break. No, we have one more. Yeah. Going into the politics file, Ivanka Trump is now a Republican. That's right. She changed her... Her party affiliation back in October 2018, just in time for the midterm election. She had been a registered Democrat 2 years in office with her dad in office, and she's still a registered Democrat. Ivanka Trump, he's from MSN.com. Ivanka Trump's transformation from a New York socialite who donated to Democrat politicians and vocally supported gay rights, and to a card-carrying member of her father's Make America Great coalition, is now complete. That's right. She officially changed her voter registration. She says, in areas outside of my portfolio, I tend to, like, agree more with, like, the more conservative viewpoint more often than, like, where the Democrats are today. No, she doesn't actually talk like that. But anyone who donates money to Planned Parenthood, I have to assume they're either vacuous or evil. And so with Ivanka, I'm just trying to give her the benefit of the doubt and assume that she's not as evil as she seems to be, but that she's just a vacuous, empty skirt.
You're unbelievable. You're so unbelievable. You're unbelievable.
It's unbelievable. It's
the Weekly Worldview. I'm your host. I was waiting for the guitar solo to end. It just doesn't end. It goes all the way to the end of the song. And I think he played that whole solo on one string. Weird.
He didn't play it.
Anyway. No, the singer didn't play the guitar on that one?
I don't
even know who that is. I don't even know if that was real, like, guitar. It's all computer generated. Anyway, folks, Ivanka's transformation to a Republican does not mean that Ivanka has become more conservative. It means, just as I predicted, the Trump clan has pulled the Republican Party further to the left and down. Yes, further to the left and down, as I thought they might. I remember I had friends who are, they're not my friends anymore, or at least we don't talk. We're not angry with each other. We just no longer speak because of the Donald Trump situation, and I was not able to get on board. I was not able to swallow hard enough to do that. No. And so now we don't talk anymore. And I told them at the time, I said, if we elect a Democrat to head the Republican Party, it's going to further ruin the Republican Party. And, here we are. Meanwhile, from the injustice file, a West Virginia man has been convicted of filming. I don't even know. This is from Fox 13 News in West Virginia. A West Virginia man has been convicted of filming an infant being abused. I'm just going to leave it at that. A judge last week sentenced this creep to serve between 205 and 775 years behind bars. Translated to be, he could get out someday. Just so you know. The judge told Smith that the videos... The judge told this this creep, I named him, I didn't want to do that. Anyway, the judge told this creep that the videos he made that the jurors had to watch brought grown men to tears. The judge said, I think that you are one of the most evil persons who I have ever encountered, said the judge to this pervert. Well, the judge could have just left out the I think part. He could have just said, you are one of the most evil part. But you know what? This judge isn't sure. So he has to say, I think. Because he lacks the confidence of his convictions to just say, you are evil. Anyway, this guy should be executed so swiftly and so painfully. And it should be the fathers of the children that he abused who should be able to take turns bringing him closer and closer to death until they finally push him over the edge. That's the kind of thing that would stop this sort of thing. But this type of thing isn't going to stop. It's going to get worse and worse. The more we tolerate it, the worse it gets. I mean, this is like I don't have to get into it. I mean, it's so obvious that these people should be killed and must be killed. And the fact that they're not being killed is going to get other people killed. Or even worse than killed, how about raped as a child? What could be worse than that? That's worse than death. All right. We go from there to the personhood file. Let's see here. The Personhood Alliance is calling on Florida Attorney General, Florida Attorney General, to launch an official investigation regarding the 15-year-old girl in Florida who was repeatedly assaulted on videos that were uploaded to Pornhub. And then the person abusing the 15-year-old took her to an abortion clinic so he could hide the evidence. They want him to investigate whether the abortion facility willfully ignored Florida's Parental Notice of Abortion Act. So just the fact that Florida has a Parental Notice of Abortion Act, that means basically pro-lifers worked hard to put together a law that says before you kill the baby, you have to tell the grandparents. Implying that then it's okay to kill the baby as long as you clue the grandparents. A lot of times it's the grandparents driving the girl to the clinic. But other times it's their abusers, like in this story. Let's see. Personhood Alliance would also like to know if Planned Parenthood failed to comply with the federal and state mandatory reporting laws, require that they alert the laws that require that abortionists report alert authorities to suspected child abuse and trafficking. Well, we already know Planned Parenthood doesn't. We already know they ignore that. I mean, we've got it. We've got them on the phone on tape for crying out loud. Apparently, for years, this is according to LifeSiteNews.com, for years, Pornhub and other similar sites have been accused of involvement in the distributing pipeline of exploiting children and other victims and survivors of sex trafficking. So, shock of all shocks, it turns out that the pornography industry is riddled with abuse and human trafficking. The author at LifeSiteNews cites an unholy alliance between abortion, sex trafficking, and pornography. As growing evidence shows, all three are intricately connected. Pornography creates the demand for sexual exploitation and trafficking. Trafficking creates the supply for the pornography industry, and the act of abortion helps the vicious cycle continue. allowing all three industries to grow, profit, and cover up crime. Very well written. I'm glad this story is out there. I thank the Personhood Alliance for bringing this to the fore. It needed to be done. And I'll go further. I call on the offices of Pornhub to be raided. Doors kicked in, right? People slapped in handcuffs. Oh, that's right. It's not illegal what they're doing. Oh, the trafficking is. Yeah, and the rape of the minors, that's all technically illegal. But since somewhere along the line we decided that we were going to tolerate a certain level of pornography in our culture, we've simply facilitated all these other crimes by turning a blind eye to what was already a crime. It's already a crime to produce and distribute pornography. If we had drawn the line there, I shouldn't say if we had drawn the line. If we had kept the line where it was, then maybe this 15-year-old wouldn't have been abused and her child may not have been murdered. And the people who killed her child wouldn't have ended up murderers. But because whenever it was, back in the 50s, I guess, we decided we were going to turn a blind eye to the whole pornography thing. okay, so let's go now to the politics file. A federal judge has ordered former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton to deliver a sworn deposition in response to a lawsuit filed by Judicial Watch over her role in the 2012 terror attack on the U.S. facilities in Benghazi, Libya. That's right, a federal judge ordered her. He ordered her. But then she appealed. So she's not actually under the order at the moment. She's appealing. You'll remember Judicial Watch initiated a lawsuit in 2014 to find out whether Clinton had used her private email server to communicate about the Benghazi attack in order to skirt Freedom of Information Act requests, because Judicial Watch uncovers all kinds of stuff. Dirty, slimy, stinky stuff in Washington, D.C. through the Freedom of Information Act. And in fact, I would posit that Judicial Watch is the reason Hillary Clinton had the personal server. It's the people at Judicial Watch who she was scared of. Well, a judge has ordered her. They're also going to order the deposition from Cheryl Mills, Hillary's then chief of staff, and IT specialist Paul Combetta, who was hired to manage Clinton's personal server in her basement or in the bathroom or wherever it was hidden. But Hillary, of course, as I said, has appealed, and she will likely never see justice on this side of her deathbed. Hillary has so much dirt on so many people, and she's not afraid to kill you, by the way, if it comes to that. I mean, she's proven that. So she'll probably get away with everything this side of her deathbed. Yeah, but then the day after that, look out. It's all coming down hard on Hillary. So anyway, enjoy it while you can, Hillary. I shouldn't even say that. I wish she wasn't even able to enjoy it, but she probably does. You know what's difficult to think and comprehend? Is, you know what a joy it is just to be alive? How good it feels to take a nice deep breath and just to be alive, to eat a good meal, right? Just to sit and watch a sunset. You know, all the wicked, evil, horrible people, they get to enjoy that stuff too. It bothers me. But that's okay. That's okay. It'll all be made right in the end or shortly thereafter. And in some cases, outside of Hillary, maybe even before that. But I think she's too far gone to ever come back. And she's too well insulated to ever actually taste justice in this life. All right, now we go to the war file, where more than 50 people have been killed in Baltimore in 2020. That's right, 50. Didn't I just read earlier only 20 people were killed in New York in February? I guess it's all a matter of perspective. In Baltimore, they're on pace to break last year's record, 52 homicides as of March 2nd, when I pulled this story down. 2019, they had 348 homicides, the fifth year in a row with more than 300 murders. And those are just the ones that are reported. I've got a quote here from Tyree Moorhead, he lives in the local community. He says, "This city was never like this, even when it was at its worst. And he says, that's scary because there's people whose family members haven't been shot yet that have a bullet with their name on it and they don't even know it. Can you imagine living in a community where you actually have that sentiment that there's a bullet out there with your name on it or your sister's name or your mom's name or your brother-in-law's name and you don't even know it yet? Can you imagine living in... That's really sad what's happened to Baltimore. Anyway, they've pretty much brought it upon themselves. They elect liberal, godless, atheist politicians, baby killers and thieves and liars. And they know what they are when they elect them. And they elect them hoping they'll give them some free stuff, some government cheese and some money. And so look what you end up now. You're terrified of being murdered on your way to the grocery store. How did that work out for you? All right, so this whole coronavirus incident, I'm sorry, the COVID-19, darn it, get on script. This COVID-19 event has exposed our reliance upon China for so many things. In fact, there was an incident earlier, last week, in which Chairman Xi Jinping sort of implied that China might be able to withhold drugs that could help with the coronavirus. Which was, anyway, that made me a little nervous because there's all kinds of drugs. Anyway, but this goes even deeper than that, this story about forced labor in China. Top global brands are they're using factories that exploit forced labor in China. The Australian Strategic Policy Institute released a report saying that Uyghurs are working in factories that are in the supply chains of at least 83 well-known global brands in technology, clothing, automotive, all across Apple, BMW, The Gap, Huawei, Nike, Samsung, Sony, Volkswagen. They say companies using forced labor in their supply chains could find themselves in breach of laws which prohibit the importation of goods made with forced labor or mandate disclosure of forced labor supply chain risks. Such firms, they say, should conduct immediate and thorough human rights due diligence on their factory labor in China, including independent audits to find out if their BMWs are parts of BMWs are being made by slaves, if your Nike shoes are being made by a slave, if your iPhone was assembled by a little Chinese slave girl. Let's see, the AP asked, apparently only Volkswagen got back to them. They asked all these companies, what about it? Just crickets. Nobody wants to talk about it. But Volkswagen's spokesman said, quote, we are committed to our responsibility in all areas of our business where we hold direct authority. Mm-hmm. Unquote. So where we hold direct authority... So the guy at Volkswagen leaves himself a little bit of plausible deniability. Well, you know, we did not have direct authority over that. This was Vice President made this deal with his Chinese. He no longer works here. He was fired. So there is nothing more to see here. So all of our stuff is made by slaves in China. I know that's a bit of hyperbole, but only a bit. All of our stuff is made by slaves in China, and now there's a flu pandemic and that, the fact that all of our stuff is made by slaves in China, that is the type of corruption that percolates up through the system and leaves voids of corruption in the infrastructure, cracks in the foundation, and then events happen that cause great alarm and concern, like the possibility of a flu pandemic similar to the 1918 Spanish flu pandemic. This could definitely be that bad. It's totally within the realm of possibility that this could be that bad. And then you've got the oil shock. And then who knows what else? Maybe you've got some crazy terrorist act that happens. Maybe North Korea finally pops off a nuclear weapon. Who knows what could happen? And then the infrastructure, because it's been insidiously corroded by decade upon decade upon decade of kidnapping and torture being the foundation of the economic system throughout the world. I mean, basically the whole world system now is based on slave labor in China. And now events may expose, well, events may expose the reality of how bad that is, but we all should have known. Going all the way back to Richard Nixon, he should have known not to get in bed with kidnappers, murderers, and thieves. But by then, that was 1974. 1973, 74. By then, America was already being governed by murderers. So I guess it was pretty easy to crawl into that bed for Tricky Dick. All right. Meanwhile, back at home, Javon Prather died after being shot nearby his home. His mother says that the suspect was her son's next-door neighbor and that they had been fighting for years over things like dog poop, loud music, and people coming and going. I said dog poop. Uh-huh. Loud music, people coming and going. And so the next-door neighbor had a problem with Javon. They argued about it on and off for years. And then one day, the next-door neighbor decided, you know, I think I'll just kill him. Anyway, in a culture that teaches its children that killing someone can solve a problem, and it can even be your constitutional right if you do it a certain way to a certain type of person, well, the fruit of that is that a generation grows up believing that murder is an option. And in this case, the next-door neighbor just chose murder as the option for his annoyance on that particular day, and that's another thing that's only going to get worse. All right. From the Real Science Files, scientists have used the gene editing technique CRISPR to try and edit a gene while the DNA was still in a person's body for the first time. Yeah, this procedure involved injecting the microscopic gene editing tool into the eye of a patient blinded by a rare genetic disorder. Doctors had only used CRISPR to treat a small number of patients who have cancer and rare blood disorders in vivo. And in those cases, the doctors removed the cells from the patient's body, edited the genes with CRISPR, and then put the cells back. They went right after the cells in the eye. Yeah. In this new experiment, the microscopic droplets carrying a harmless virus that had been engineered to deliver the instructions to manufacture the CRISPR gene editing machinery. The goal is that once the virus carries the CRISPR instructions, has been infused into the eye, the gene editing tool will slice out the defect. Yeah. And that would, the researchers hope, restore production of a crucial protein to prevent the death of cells in the retina, as well as revive other cells, enabling patients to regain at least some vision. Folks, if we can keep civilization from falling into the hands of the madmen, and we can still do science, we're on the verge of great things, but these are uncertain times. All right, that's it for the Weekly Worldview. I want to thank my friends at Real Science Radio and at American Right to Life, and my other brother, Daryl, who makes it all happen here in the Weekly Worldview Studios. Should the Lord tarry, we will return next week. And until then, may the grace of God go with you, and may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.